Our Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we approach Thy throne of grace this evening. We pray for the help of the Lord in the exposition of Thy Word and the preaching of the Gospel. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will do the work of which we have been singing in one of the hymns tonight, that He will draw people to Christ. And, O God, we pray that there will be a gracious and everlasting work of the Spirit of God accomplished here as the Word is preached. Lord, come in our midst, we pray, and grant us a demonstration of spiritual power. We cry to Thee as a church for revival. Lord, we pray with the psalmist of old, quicken me according to Thy Word. Lord, we pray for a scriptural experience of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We ask Thee, our God, that this may be the scene of a gracious work of Thy Spirit, such as we have never even dared to imagine. Lord, in this godless age, rend the heavens and come down. May the fear of God fall upon the people. May conviction of sin be wrought deep within the heart. And our God, we pray that the law will do its schoolmaster's work of pointing souls to Christ. Start the work even in this meeting now, and give gracious power in the preaching of the gospel. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name, and for His everlasting glory. Amen. I think you may get a little worried when I tell you that tonight I have 11 texts. And you may think that you would need to have had your breakfast with you. However, I think your fear is unfounded. As I was reading through Matthew's Gospel, I was greatly struck by something that I had never noticed before. That's the great thing about the Bible. But the more you read it, the more you see in it. I have made various notes in the margin of an older Bible in the 8th chapter of Matthew. And yet, having said that, one of the most outstanding things still had never dawned on me. I noticed this, that after the descent of Christ from the mountain, where He had preached the Sermon on the Mount, and before the sending forth of the disciples, recorded in chapter 10, in the 8th and 9th chapters, there is a wonderful emphasis on people coming to Christ. You have a good look at those two chapters, and you'll find in verse 2 that it says, "There came a leper." In verse 5, we read, "There came a centurion." In verse 19, "A certain scribe came." Verse 25, "His disciples came." Verse 28, "Two possessed with devils came." And so on into the following chapter. Again and again we read, "There came to Him someone in great need." On at least one occasion, we read of people coming out of a desire to repel Christ and reject Him. But for the most part, those who came with a longing to receive the grace of God and the mighty power that Christ alone could provide for them. And you know, they weren't disappointed. For all who came in this way were accepted. And thus in chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew's Gospel, we have given us a lovely picture of Christ. I think that you could view Christ here as the Christ with the open arms, Mr. Spurgeon once preached a sermon on a different text, and he called it, Come and Welcome to Jesus. I think you could certainly write that also over these two chapters of the Word of God. We're going to try tonight to look into this coming to Christ of the open arms. We're going to try to show what these chapters have to say about this matter of coming and welcome to Christ. As you think of these multiplied references, there came to him such and such and one. Notice first the wisdom of those who came. All kinds of people came with all kinds of problems. They came with their needs. We have read that the leper came with his loathsome disease. The centurion came from his house of sorrow and sickness. The scribe came with his heart's desire to be saved. The demon-possessed came with the chains of their depravity and degradation. Publicans and sinners in chapter 9 and verse 10 came in need of the healing of their souls. Then the ruler of the synagogue came with a broken heart because his little girl back home was dying and being snatched from him. The woman with the issue of blood, suffering for 12 years, the horrors and the agony of her disease, she came to him who alone could grant her the cleansing that she needed. Blind men came to Jesus, crying to him that they might receive their sight. And as I thought of all those different people who came with all their different needs to the Lord Jesus Christ, I thought, in our day, in our church congregations, in our family situations, we have the modern counterpart of every one of these cases. We today have those who are suffering from the loathsome leprosy of sin. Man, if you're in this meeting tonight, suffering from that soul-destroying leprosy of sin, the wise thing to do is to come to Jesus. If, like the centurion, you've come to God's house tonight out of a home situation of sorrow, a home that has caused many tears, a family situation that breaks your heart, then, my friend, the thing to do in wisdom is to come to Jesus. If you're like the scribe and your heart desires to get on the road to heaven, or you want to be finished with the sham, you want to be finished with the empty show, you want to get beyond religion and all that it has to offer, you want reality, you want to be a true disciple of Christ, man, the wise thing to do is come to Jesus. If, again, you should be like the demon-possessed man, you find that there are hellish chains and shackles about your soul. There are habits that you cannot break. There are powers let loose within you that you cannot control. My friend, the only wise thing to do is come to Jesus. If you read in a parallel passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 5, you'll find that in Gadara, they decided that they would take Legion, the one possessed with the legion of devils, they would take him and they would bind him. That's what the world would do. It would try to put the lid on the viciousness of sin. It would try to circumscribe you with so many rules and regulations so that there isn't the opportunity for the expression of the innate depravity. That's the best that human effort can do. My friend, only Jesus Christ can actually go to the heart of the matter and make you a new creature. The wise thing, therefore, to do is come to Christ. If you're like those publicans and sinners in Matthew 9 and verse 10, you find yourself outside the pale as far as the ordinary religious world's concerned. You need healing of heart and soul. Come to Christ. Could be that there's a parent here, and like the ruler of the synagogue, like Jairus of old, you come to God's house with a heavy heart. He was losing his daughter physically. She was just about to die. Indeed, by the time the Savior got to the house, she was dead. That's a tremendous tragedy. Man, when your heart is broken by bereavement, bring it to Jesus. But it might be that there are parents here and you stand to lose your children in a much, much worse way. As you see them drift further from God and deeper into sin, and you see the chains of the world get around their hearts, and you feel that there's nothing that you can say or do to hold on to them, that there seems to be an irresistible drag pulling them down into the broad road, my friend, the thing to do is come to Christ. Bring it to the Lord Jesus. Side by side with these who came to Christ in these chapters, there are a couple of instances where others brought people to Jesus. Man, if you're here like Jairus with a heart that breaks because of losing your loved ones, your young ones, then bring them to Christ. If you're like the woman with the issue of blood and there's a secret uncleanness. You see, that's the picture this woman's presenting. She could pass muster in society. She could look like any other. But there was a secret uncleanness, and remember, under Jewish law, by this uncleanness, this woman was perpetually disbarred from the enjoyment of the ordinances of Judaism. For 12 long years, she had been shut out because of a secret uncleanness. Man, if that's you tonight, that because of some secret chamber of an unclean heart, you've been cut off from truth, cut off from righteousness, cut off from the enjoyment of the love of God. Man, come to Christ. Don't be satisfied with covering it up. The wise thing to do is to bring your need to Jesus. Could be, of course, that you're like the blind man. You can't see straight at all. Your eyes are put out by sin. If you're in the meeting tonight, my friend, and you're not right with God, and it doesn't trouble you, you need to pray, God, give me sight. Lord Jesus, give me sight. Give me eyes to behold the glory of God. Give me eyes to behold the heinousness of my sin. Give me eyes to behold the Christ who is the Lamb of God. And give me eyes to see the way to the saved. Man, if you're in the meeting, you have no spiritual sight, the wise thing to do is come to Christ and ask for it. They came with their needs. It's interesting also that they came with their questions. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14, we read, "Then came to him the disciples of John." And they had a question. "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" These people didn't really understand the freedom of the gospel. They didn't understand the joy of having Christ. I'm not going in to try and expound that passage in detail tonight, but they do present for us a people who had questions about the gospel. Now, the worst thing to do if you're unsaved and you've got questions about the gospel, the worst thing to do is to go on a tour of all the different churches and all the different denominations and try to figure out the truth by what men say. There are more people who make shipwreck that way than you would dare to imagine. Man, if you need to know the truth, the wise thing to do is to go to him who is the truth. Go to Christ. And if you've got questions about the gospel, come to Christ with your questions. Bring an open heart and an open mind. Bring all the things that perplex you, spread them before the Lord, and He'll give you the answer. And it's interesting also that they came with their fears. Chapter 8, 25, we read that His own disciples came to Him and awoke Him. This is when they were out in the storm-tossed sea and the waves covered the ship and Christ lay asleep. His own disciples came to Him in the midst of their fear. I think that's a lovely picture, and every Christian should keep it in mind. There never is a time in the Christian life when you cease coming to Jesus. You come to Christ for salvation, but you keep on coming to Christ for every need to be met. And when the fears would grip your heart, when that cold, clammy hand would grip and grasp you so tight it would choke the life spiritually right out of you, my friend, come to Jesus. It's a lovely picture here. The Lord Jesus had told these people to get into the ship. Verse 23 says, He entered into the ship and His disciples followed Him. Now, if you're following Christ, you'll never go to destruction. You ought to know that. And they should have known that. As I say, the parallel passages will show that He told them to get into the ship. And they did it. But then they thought, we're going to perish. Aren't there many people who have come to Christ? They've got saved. Then comes the seed of doubt. When trouble arises, trials oppress, then comes the thought, I'm going to perish. Maybe I'll not make it safely to heaven at all. Of course, the old devil likes to play on that. Cause the doubts to roar in your ear. Now, what do you do when you're full of doubts? What do you do when you're afraid of perishing? Well, now, if you go to hear most preachers, they'll give you some very crazy answers. I have talked with more people who said that they came to Christ when they were about 5 years old. And they have had doubts later on, and they've gone to a preacher, and the preacher has said, now, didn't you make a decision when you were five? Now, in all honesty, the person can't remember a thing about it. But their mother or their father has told them that, yes, you made a decision when you were five. And the preacher says, there you are now, you've just got to stand that. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. You came, you don't know a thing about it, you can't remember a thing about it, you're taking somebody else's word for it, but you just take your stand in that. Is it any wonder that people's minds get tied in knots? Do you ever notice in the New Testament, never once are Christians referred back to examine the decision that they made when they came to Christ? Never once. Oh, they are exhorted to examine their present condition. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. But never once are you told, go back and ask your mommy or your daddy, did I make a decision when I was five? What do you do with the fear? Come to Christ with it. Come to Christ with it. Fix your eyes on Christ. Never get them off Him. When I was back home in Northern Ireland recently, I was speaking at a meeting that was mainly made up of young people, hundreds of them from all over our province. And I took opportunity to say something there that I've said here many times. There's a preacher sitting in the meeting, and it was really a help even to him in dealing with people, for he says, I've never seen it before. John 1 and 12, never forget it, as many as received Him. The tense is past. It's once and for all, it's done. To them give He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe, not past, but present, even to the continually believing ones. When a man once and for all receives Jesus Christ as a Savior, the mark of his having received Christ is that he never quits believing. He's always coming to Christ. Come with your fears. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And that's the wise thing to do. The wisdom of those who came to Christ. Note the welcome that they received. Not one of them was turned away. Speaks a volume to me about the accessibility of Christ. There's an old gospel hymn that we sing back home. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. That's what was true for these people. Christ was passing, and he was accessible. Paul took this up in Romans chapter 10. And he said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Romans 10 verse 8. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The accessibility of Christ. You know, one of the big lies of the devil is to make people believe that Christ, I have knelt side by side with the modern counterparts of many of these people. I have seen them come to Christ and get instantaneous salvation. Sometimes it's better not to know who you're kneeling beside. I remember I had a tent mission in a little place called Largay, outside the town of Limavady, County Londonderry, over in Northern Ireland. I knew that the Lord was going to bless there. Just a little isolated place, to be quite honest. It was a stupid place to have a mission by any human standards. But the church up there, and I was in charge of it at that time, felt that that was the place they ought to go. We prayed about it. One of my elders bought me an old ex-army tent that made the black hole of Calcutta look like heaven on a sunny day. And out we went. Before that mission started, I had a promise from God he was going to save souls. And there were 11 souls in that little isolated place, came to Christ. But I remember one night, after the meeting, a young married couple stayed to see me. I opened the book of God to them, knelt with them in prayer, and heard each of them cry to God for salvation. To this day, they're going on fire for God. Great pair. What I didn't know, I thought I knew them, they were related to a member of my own church. What I didn't know was that that young fella, a building contractor, his business was just about on the rocks. His marriage was just about on the rocks. His life was near to an end. He was almost a total alcoholic. And his wife could take no more. I didn't know that, and I'm very glad, because the devil would have used it to give me a rare fit of doubt and fear. Are you really saying the right thing to these people? But you know, that night, that man met with Jesus Christ. That was in the year 1968. I started preaching when I was very young. It was 1968. He has never had dues from that day to this. He's known as one of the best building contractors in the entire area in which he works and lives. His home has been opened to many young students in the university, and it's a home from home and a place where they get to know their God. I could tell you of person after person after person. And there was always a welcome when they came to Jesus. That's an encouragement for you, if you're not saved, to come.
It's an encouragement for you, if you are saved, to bring them and have confidence in Christ. But I finish with a warning. For there is a warning of some who came to Christ. Chapter 8, verse 34 tells us of an event that took place after Christ had cast the devils out of the men in the country of the Gergesenes. Verse 34, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Now, doesn't that sound good? Starts off with such a tremendous note. The whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. The whole city came out to reject him. After he had done a notable miracle, after he had cast out the devils, devils that had put fear in the entire neighborhood. You may ask, why did they say, go away? Could well have been that he cast the devils into a herd of swine, and they lost their swine. It's a terrible thought that people were willing to lose their souls to keep their swine. That's always the folly of sinners who reject Christ. Willing to lose your soul to keep the swine of sin and the world and the things which God knows you need to get rid of. Whatever the reason, what blindness for these people. What prejudice, what fear, what folly. Now, there's a very ominous thing here. I noted right down the line, the Lord Jesus made a response to the people who came to him. Sometimes the words are not recorded in this chapter and they are in another part. But when the leper came saying, Lord, cleanse me, Jesus says, be clean. When the centurion came saying, Lord, come and heal my servant, Jesus says, I'll come and I'll heal him. So on. When these people besought Christ to depart, there wasn't a word in reply. But he turned on his heel and he left. It's a very solemn thing for people to be face to face with Jesus Christ. A very solemn thing for people to be brought up under the sound of the gospel, to hear the claims of Christ, and to reject him. To reject him is tragic and it's fatal. But this was more than just rejection. This was a prayer, leave us alone. I haven't known too many people to pray that prayer, but I have known of some. I think of two cases tonight. Think of a young man who was terribly bothered about his soul. And another young woman who, quite independently, went to hear Dr. Paisley preaching in the old Ravenhill church every night, every Sunday night. Both of them were brought under terrible conviction of sin. A friend of mine was witnessing to the young man in the place where he worked. He said, Jimmy, you're wasting your time. Said, there was a time, not very long ago, when I could neither eat nor sleep because of conviction of sin. Every night I went to bed, I was face to face with what I would do with Jesus Christ. Till one night I could stick it no more. I got out of my bed and I got down on my knees by the side of the bed and I started to pray. And I cried to God to give me peace and leave me alone. So from that day to this, I have never had a moment's trouble about my soul. And the young woman that went to Dr. Paisley's church, it was exactly the same. He saw her one Sunday night under such conviction of sin that she could hardly stagger from the meeting. And I've been in some of those meetings. I have never been in evangelistic meetings such as the moderator has had the privilege to preach. I have seen big 6 foot men, 220 pound weight, staggering like drunks under conviction. That's the way this girl was. The next Sunday night she came back, she was as brazen, smirking, mocking, and careless. He pulled her aside as she was leaving the meeting, got her into the room. He said, "You need to get saved." She said, "I'll never get saved." Exactly the same story. Last Sunday night, said she, "I could hardly get out of this meeting. When I went home, I couldn't sleep. God convicted me of sin. But I didn't want to be saved. And I prayed that God would take His Spirit from me and leave me alone." Just like that, He did it. I want to tell you, friend, it's a very serious thing to reject the Lord Jesus. But how tragic when people get so hard that there is this formal, cold, calculated prayer practically. "Oh God, leave me alone." I have a warning for every one of you, and especially for young people who know the gospel. I have a warning for you tonight. That's a prayer you will never need to pray the second time. Here are people, and they came out to Christ. And it wasn't just that they tried to ignore Him, but they formally said, "Go away and leave us alone." I warn you tonight, you do that, and you're down. There's the wisdom of those who come to Christ. There's a welcome for all who will come to Christ. There's a warning from those who reject Him. His arms are open to receive all who come. May God grant you grace to come while you have the opportunity and receive Him as your all-sufficient Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. We do want every head bowed in prayer. We do want every eye closed. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, the only wise thing to do is come to Christ. If you're a backslider, the thing to do is come to Christ. If you have many needs and problems, the thing to do is come to the Savior with them. We invite you to do so. If I can help you in the things of God, I'm here as your servant for Jesus' sake. I invite you to remain and have a word with me, and let's open the book of God together. We'll be glad to help you to Christ. Our Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy Word, and we pray that Thou wilt bring many to the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that whatever the need, Christ is the answer. We thank Thee for the open arms and the open heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, our Father, we pray that Thou wilt graciously work on many souls, whatever their needs, that they may find those needs met in Christ. Let not one be led so astray by the devil and sin and a love of the world as to make the awful mistake of those people who besought Christ to leave them alone. O God, our Father, keep people back from the awful folly of Christ's rejection. Lord, save souls tonight, we pray. Hear us now. Write Thy Word upon our hearts, and through it all bring honor to the name of our Redeemer. Part us now with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear, the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought church, both this Sabbath evening and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.